Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Blackhawks Live.
Fire! Score!
Go Blackhawks!
That's hockey, baby!
From the downtown studios of WGN Radio.
Now to Brinkman takes the puck away to Strome. To Kane beside the net. Strome, he shoots, he scores!
Time to talk hockey.
I mean, yeah, I thought he played really well. You know, made some big saves. Did that his last start, too, so.
Time to talk Hawks.
I think we're just trying to stick together as a team and hopefully build for next year.
It's time for Blackhawks Live.
On to Caleb Jones. Walks and then shoots. A bad save. Made. Rebound spills out. Strome shoots. He scores!
Here's Joe Brand with Chris Bowden.
Hello, Chicago!
It's go time.
Yes, a wide variety of Dylan Strome highlights, because number 17 will be our guest on this week's Blackhawks Live, and only two more Blackhawks Live left on 720 WGN. I'm Joe Brand, and we're joined by the Triple Crown winner of Chicago media coverage. Chris Bowden has been covering Bears today, White Sox, and he just figured he'd polish off his day with some Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN Radio.
Well, yeah, I couldn't squeeze in the Bulls practice earlier today. And
Cubs are on the road.
A little too tight to take the flight down to Atlanta and throw that in the mix as well. But yeah, three different sports, and here we are. And the sun is out, Joe.
It is.
The sun is out here as we begin, when so many times during this long season of Blackhawks Live, it's been pure darkness.
That's what that's what happens when you come towards the home stretch.
Meteorological darkness is what
they,
I'm talking about.
Thank you for clearing that up. Yeah, so just two more shows left here, and we've been very grateful of all the help from the Blackhawks, from WGN Radio, from our producer Curtis Koch, of everyone who's helped us out along this year, Ernie Skatton for putting together these opens. But with two games left in the regular season, Vegas at home tomorrow night, the Hawks will conclude their regular season in Buffalo on Friday. There was some talking points at the UC for a practice that was hardly even a practice. I think the team was there because it was team photo day, too. Mm. But Patrick Kane spoke with the media. All the injured guys, Mackenzie Entwistle, Kirby Dach, Jujhar Khera, Connor Murphy, all out on the ice today getting in some reps with, there were a couple people, Chris Kunitz, there was Jimmy Wade as Colin Dealey was out there. So definitely good to see them back on the ice. Now, there's no certainty whatsoever if any of those guys will be back on the ice for a game of the final two left, but it is good to see them closing things out, hopefully on the high note, because as of right now, it's almost like there's no point to risk anything and kind of falter your summer, possibly, for next season.
And it could be something as they head into the offseason. Granted, every player takes physicals, but if these guys have not been on the ice very frequently of late and they are able to get on the ice, this could be part of the evaluation process of where they are as they head into the offseason and how much more work would need to be done from a hockey standpoint in terms of their physical state. So that may have been part of the process of having just those four guys out on the ice today. And there's still a little bit of business to take care of. Vegas tomorrow night in the home finale, and then off to, as you said, to Buffalo. Patrick Kane's annual trip to Buffalo, which has been postponed.
True.
Here for the better part of the last couple of years. He finishes off over there. But yeah, he had some interesting things to say a little bit earlier when he was visiting with you guys. And who knows, perhaps this may be the last time we get the chance to talk to him before heading into the offseason.
There was a whole lot of talk about the future with Patrick Kane. And let's get right into some of the quotes that he had to say, because Patrick Kane was pretty clear that he thinks there are still useful pieces on this roster, even though this organization has declared a rebuild. And he even thinks that if you're in a rebuild, that doesn't totally equate to tanking. He thinks you can win during a rebuild.
I think there's teams that have accelerated that too, right? Like you look at LA, had some young guys that probably came in and maybe exceeded some of their maybe front office expectations, and all of a sudden they're in a spot where they can sign guys like Deneau and trade for Arvidsson, and they're a better team. Same thing with the Rangers, right? It was like they put out that memo a couple years ago that they were rebuilding, and then all of a sudden they're one of the best teams in the league a couple years later, right? You know, obviously, that, you know, you bring in a guy like Panarin, and that helps, but or a guy like Shesterkin, right? Like he comes to the forefront, and you need those young guys to obviously take next steps, but I think it can be done, you know, quicker than maybe some people think.
Patrick Kane is very tuned into the entire league. So it's cool to hear him just kind of ream off a couple of teams and a couple of players that he thinks the Blackhawks could idolize their future off of. And, you know, this isn't just pumping the tires of the Blackhawks and positivity for next year. This is Patrick Kane's actual thoughts. And Patrick Kane, the best player on your team, is saying these things. That's got to be a good sign for a team even heading into a rebuild. And I also think, you know, heading into this year, this was a team with playoff aspirations. They kind of took a U-turn during the offseason, improved the roster, a quick fix almost, if you will, with some of the acquisitions that had happened. Obviously, things didn't work out that way, but there's no reason why some of those things, not everything, but some of those things can't carry over into next year.
Yeah, I think the main difference, you know, the way the LA has done their rebuild in particular is they had their share of high draft picks for a couple of years, and those high draft picks have come to fruition, not every single one of them, but they have only taken a couple of years for those picks to earn their way up to the NHL level. And they've still kept that mix with the Kopitars and the Dustin Browns and the Drew Doughtys before he got injured. Jonathan Quick, a part of the mix there. So there is that veteran presence, and it looks like they are going to make the playoffs this year. A couple of things have to happen, but they could clinch as soon as tonight. So credit to them for digging down deep. I think there has been more of a bit of luck on the Rangers' part, mm-hmm. because they also came out and said, all right, this is going to be some deep digging. But they also had their share of some high draft picks. Some may argue that they got the number one overall pick a couple of years ago because they were New York. The old Patrick Ewing conspiracy theory back in the 80s with the Knicks. But they've had a lot of things go right. So those are the two franchises. What Patrick says, everything Patrick says in that soundbite is true. But by the same token, they have had those dominoes roll exactly like you would hope and envision in order to turn this thing a lot more quickly around. I'm not saying that can't happen with the Blackhawks, but they're going to need some guys to, especially step up, especially if Kyle Davidson, as he heads into this offseason, has to make some tough decisions on, guys who have been here for a couple of years, but you may not necessarily see them with a much higher ceiling. How does he feel about a Dominic Kubalik? How does he feel about a couple of other guys, Philip Kurashev? And if that's the case, if he has X amount of guys on this current roster moving on, there's going to have to be some guys filling in. And what kind of quality player are you going to use to fill in if there are, a certain number of exits? And are there enough guys in the pipeline who are ready to make that step up next season?
There are so many decisions, and one of them being the guy that we're going to talk to a little bit later on in Dylan mm-hmm. Strome, with an upcoming...
A lot of defensemen they have to make decisions on, too.
Yeah, but the defense is deep this year, which is something that the Blackhawks haven't had in quite some time, at least for the direction that they would like to go to. And again, this isn't a segment to say, hey, even though the Hawks are in a rebuild, they could be really good next year. Sure, maybe it could happen. I wouldn't say hold your breath on it, but it's nice to hear Patrick Kane pull out the positives from this season, possibly see them carrying over into next year. And again, if your best player on the team has that mentality, I don't think it's entirely delusional for him to think that way. The other thing is Patrick Kane is going to be a guy that's going to influence a lot of the younger guys on this team. And this is something else that he had to say about, for as good as Patrick Kane has been this year, he still thinks he can be better. He always thinks he can be better on the ice because that's the kind of standard that he's put on himself. But in other aspects, in terms of helping younger players evolve and grow, and he goes on to say something about Alex DeBrincat as well, so I want you to listen to all of this, but here's something that Patrick Kane had to say about helping the younger players on this Blackhawks organization.
As a player, you're always trying to personally improve yourself and try to get better every day, and I think that's something that I feel I can be even better at, is trying to help these guys develop a little bit quicker, point some things out on the ice that are just little details that might help our team, especially when they're in the back of your mind and you can know that certain things are going to happen out there. But I think another thing is develop some chemistry with DeBrincat over the years, and it's if he's here and if he's a big piece, then that makes it easier for me too, right? Because I'm playing with him every day and he's such a good player, and it makes it fun to be out there with him. So
as frustrating as this year has been, what has been the main attraction? Patrick Kane and Alex DeBrincat, and Dylan Strome for that matter, but for the most part, Patrick Kane and Alex DeBrincat. that chemistry is there, that excitement to play with him is there, and I think younger players will see that. Hey, we might not be winning, but it's really fun to play on this team with a future Hall of Famer and a two-time 40-goal scorer that are doing some very phenomenal things out on the ice. That just pumps energy, pumps positivity out onto the ice, which could come in real value in a season that might not be as profitable as you would think it would be. I think that's important next year, too, because Alex DeBrincat's going to be here next year. Patrick Kane's a different story. I think I would bet that, yes, he will be here next year. He will be part of this rebuild for the time being, and that is something that the younger players can look forward to, regardless of what state the team's in.
Yeah, and we'd all love to be a fly on the wall in these these postseason meetings between general manager and player, especially certain players that we're talking about, because there are some tough decisions to make, as we've mentioned earlier, you know, in weeks past on this show, especially with Patrick Kane, who's going to be 34 in November, especially with Jonathan Toews, and you know how Kyle envisions Patrick's role here moving forward with 1 year to go on his contract. You know, how blunt will he be with, would he listen to offers if another team comes along? Let's say Colorado falls on its face and can't get out of the second round or whatever this year.
Right.
I don't know what their assets are, and granted, they would be picking low in the first round. If another team that feels it's a, you know, a player or two away once this whole Stanley Cup playoff ends up playing out, how high of an interest would there be in bringing someone of the talent and the Stanley Cup pedigree of Patrick Kane in, and at what cost would Kyle Davidson put the price tag on that? Again, it'll be a fascinating offseason. I'm sure all those conversations remain private between player and general manager, but I would imagine Kyle has to do a certain job and has to be pretty straightforward and blunt in terms of, okay, I want you around for this if you're willing to do it. Mm-hmm. It might take a while, might take a couple years, and by the time, you know, we may be contending again, you could be looking at 37, 38 years old, and we don't know what type of player you're going to be, nor do you. So how heavily are you invested in this, or do you want one more piece, one more bite out of that apple, even though you might not be wearing a Blackhawk sweater? You'll always be a Blackhawk for all you've accomplished here. But, you know, if I'm blown away by an offer that might interest me, how interested would you be in having a better shot at that bite of the apple here as your career starts to wind down?
Patrick Kane matched his career high in assists last night with number 66, but he does think that maybe he was still a little bit limited this year. We'll hear more on that when we come back. We've got Dylan Strome later on. You're listening to Blackhawks Live, 720 WGN.
Happy with, you know, the way I was able to get myself ready pretty much for every game, but it was I give the training staff a lot of credit for that, but it was like probably not where I needed it to be. You know, there's certain things on the ice that maybe you feel limited with, and just try to correct that before next year.
So again, Patrick Kane has a very, very high standard for himself. And apparently with 92 points this year, he's 8 away from 100. Probably unlikely that he will get to 100 for the third time in his career. But he does have 66 assists this year, which ties his career high with the 2018-2019 season. But apparently still felt a little bit limited this year. Wouldn't go into great detail of what. And we had heard this conversation last year as well, maybe towards the end of it, because he was off to a great start at the beginning of last season, Hart Trophy conversations. That started to dive down. And then this year, I mean, he's been pretty solid all year. There was that stretch of him not scoring goals, but he was still assisting. And but again, in his words, still a little bit limited this year.
That's all part of this equation moving forward, too.
True.
With what you do, and the production has remained top notch for whatever it is, you know, he's been battling through. The production has remained top notch, but again, 33 years old, 34 in November. He is the type of player you envision because of his style of play, because of his slipperiness, his awareness, at least at this point in his career, where you know he hasn't suffered any major injury, save for that one shoulder separation back in 2015. He's been able to stay away from that. But if these nagging things start stretching into the point where they're continuing, or something new should happen to pop up, and then it starts affecting his production, you know, that's I think that's all part of this conversation that he has with Kyle Davidson sometime after Friday too.
He pretty much put aside any conversations about it being something of surgical matter, just things that he can possibly and hopefully fine-tune over the summer. Let's get into the future of this team, and let's start with Lucas Reichel, who recently was recognized for all of his accomplishments down in Rockford. As their season continues, and their postseason will continue, we talked about it before. Lucas Reichel's play did not translate right away to the NHL, but I don't think anyone is really that surprised by it. He's a young kid, he's a small kid, and it's a totally different game. The good news is when he's gone back down to the AHL, he's picked the game right back up. Mm-hmm. 53 points in 53 games. That's a rookie record for the Rockford franchise now. He passes Vinny Hinostroza, and now he's 3 goals away from 24 total, which would be a franchise record, and closing in on assists as well. So more just good numbers, good news for Lucas Reichel. He also said he's going to live here over the summer, bulk up, work with the Blackhawks training staff. So that should definitely help out in that regard, and hopefully just really start coming into his NHL self that can be a mainstay for this organization.
Yeah, and with all the questions that we have heading into this offseason and next year as to who is going to be here and who isn't, I think it's that's as much a slam dunk as anything. Lucas Reichel will be with this team probably from the get-go next year, and throwing him out in the fire. It's time to see what the kid can do. Might he run into the occasional wall here and there during the course of the NHL season, and how you handle that will be a bridge that they'll have to cross at the time. But with the way he has been able to produce, and you know, 3 more games to go this final week of the regular season for the Ice Hogs, let's see if he can raise some of those numbers, and then hopefully an extended playoff experience. I know we'll probably have Joey Z on next week heading into the Ice Hogs playoff season, but you know, I think if they finish fourth, they'd have to go into a best of three first round series. And then, but if they finish second or third, they would advance directly into the division semifinal. So there's still an opportunity they can leapfrog over Milwaukee, whom they play on Friday night on the road, to get that third spot. But hopefully they can win a series or two, because I think that would go a long way just with his acclimation to the North American game and playing at a little bit higher stakes against better competition, too.
Reichel, 3 goals away from 24. That record held by Matthew Highmore from the 2017-2018 season.
And last time they made the playoffs, too. Yeah.
Rockford?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Rockford's record books.
And, under Jeremy Colleton.
Oh, that's correct. Yeah, that's right. And then 5 assists away from 37, the Adam Clendenning era, 12th and 13 season. But yeah, obviously a fantastic opening year for Lucas Reichel. You were talking about him joining the Hawks at the beginning of next year. There was some talk about that happening this year.
Right.
I mean, not for the long haul, but he was playing in a couple of preseason games. And I honestly, personally, did really like how the Blackhawks approached it with him. Again, there's a conversation to be had about whether it's worth it to have him burn his 10 games to burn that entry-level year of his contract. But for the financial state of the Hawks for the upcoming, the short-term future, I don't think it's going to be handcuffing them too much. And the most important thing is you get some confidence instilled in Lucas Reichel, but also show him what he needs to do in order to really succeed at the NHL level. And yeah, I mean, hopefully, again, a mainstay for this Hawks organization, as we're going to have Dylan Strome coming up shortly. He'll be on with us after the 7:30 news. I'm excited to talk to Dylan Strome. Anything in particular that you're interested in talking to Dylan Strome about?
Oh, well, yeah. Well, I think my first question, well, first of all, the Masterson nomination.
True.
Good on him. I want to get his thoughts on how this season has gone for him. I'm just going to maybe just tee him up and say, go. And see what he has to say about that.
All right, Dylan Strome after the news. You're listening to Blackhawks Live 720 WGN.
Kane to DeBrincat, now to Jones. Strome, he sees, he scores! A career high for Dylan Strome! A tape-to-tape-to-tape-to-tape pass. And Strome buries it for his 21st goal on the season. And as I said, that's a career high. It's now 4-2 in favor of the Hawks.
That was a career high for Dylan Strome, and that's a lot of tape.
To tape.
From our own John Weidemann. He's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand, and we're pleased to bring in Dylan Strome from the Blackhawks here on Blackhawks Live. Dylan, thank you very much for joining us. We didn't carve too much into your Tuesday night tonight, did we?
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
So, with that call, I mean, 21 goals on the season, clearly you are a confident guy, but the way this season started, would you believe me if I told you about a month in that you would end up hitting a career high in goals this year?
No, I don't think so. I think it's funny how hockey seasons work sometimes. I mean, the year I got 20 goals, the year I got traded here, I think you could have asked me the same thing in November and even almost early December, and I would have probably told you that you're crazy. So, and then you go into to last year, per se, when I was, kind of labeled as the first line center there when Taves wasn't going to play and Kirby was hurt, and you saw how last year went. So, I think that's just the way hockey goes sometimes, and I'm happy to be at this point at the season now.
Yeah, it has been a roller coaster. Even within this season, it's been a little bit of a roller coaster. But congratulations on reaching a new career high. And overall, how through your eyes, how do you describe your season in your own words? Reaching this career high 21 goals, but nevertheless, it's been a little bit of a journey once again in order to come to this place.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think that's a good way to describe it, is a journey. I know I kind of said at the beginning of the year, even in training camp, that it's a long season and lots of things happen. So, like I said earlier, I'm happy to be at this point where I'm at now, and a couple games left here to finish off strong. And it's been a wild ride, but got some great teammates, and I'm really fortunate to be in the position I'm in. So I'm just trying to take advantage of it.
You were just talking about a hockey season being so uncertain. I mean, you're heading into this offseason in RFA, but with all of that experience of overcoming the uncertainty and finding success, how much more prepared do you feel as a hockey player, as a guy that goes over contracts? I mean, how much more prepared do you feel at heart now going into the uncertainty?
I think a lot, for sure. I would say going into my last contract season, which was 2 years ago, I think I was, overthinking it a lot on, what I might make, or, how many points I needed for this or goals for that or blah, blah, blah. So I think, going into this season, it wasn't really on my mind as much as it was, in the previous time. So just kind of going in and knowing it's a long season and lots can happen, and, there's lots of games to be played and things change so fast, whether it's trades or coaching changes or line changes or healthy scratch in and out. So so much can happen throughout the course of a season that I was trying not to focus on it as much. I'd be lying if I said it didn't creep into my mind in the last, little bit we're here where, things are going pretty well, but I think that's just, human nature and, trying to take a day at a time and like I said, finish off the season strong. But, like I said, I'm excited for where I'm at in the season.
I'm assuming that the tact has been with Kyle and either you or your agent. Things will get to that after Friday, sometime after Friday. And if that's correct, that being said, what are your thoughts if there is, significant interest in signing you to extension, keeping you around? What is your interest level in being part of, as they phrase it, what could be a very time and perhaps, for you personally, career consuming gradual rebuild of this team? How would that sit with you if, yes, they want you to be a part, but this may be this may take a little while? This could be a fairly long process.
Yeah, I think it can kind of go both ways. I think with what people are saying about our team next year, I think people were kind of saying the same thing last year, and I think we kind of opened some eyes last year and what they were calling a rebuild then. So, I don't think we should be too quick to, write everything off for next year. I think we still got a lot of good players and a lot of good pieces coming back. And, I think with another year of, guys getting a year older and getting, some of the younger guys getting, a year better and things like that, I think, hopefully, I'm sure our mindset coming in next year is going to be we can surprise a lot of people. And I think that's going to have to be the mindset. And, of course, I love here in Chicago, and, if they see me part of the long-term future, then, I'd be happy to, happy to help along the way. But I think it's going to be more than, just helping along the way. I think it's going to be, a team that can make some noise next year and something that I think, people are kind of, taking lightly so far. I think, like I said, we're going to have some pieces come back and some pieces that are going to be here for longer than a year that has been so far, and a couple younger guys that are, going to find their way with the Blackhawks. And I think there's a lot of optimism to look forward to, like I said, if I'm here next year.
Let's talk about your line for a little bit. Alex DeBrincat, before he scored his 40th goal, Patrick Kane was expressing how important it was for them as a team to help get the Cat to 40 goals. What does that say about the selflessness of your guys' line? Because this is kind of the mentality that you were preaching when you weren't getting into the lineup, when you were on the fourth line at the beginning of the year. Everyone was talking about how great you were taking it. And I feel like now you're kind of being rewarded in that regard, but that is also because of how well Alex DeBrincat and Patrick Kane just kind of look out for their teammates and their buddies.
In other words, there are worse things than playing with Alex DeBrincat and Patrick Kane, right?
That too.
Yeah, there are definitely worse things than that, for sure. I feel that, our team is, a pretty close-knit group, and I think whenever guys, aren't in the lineup or aren't playing well or whatever it may be, I think guys, especially on this team, prior teams that I've been on, where guys are lifting each other up and are really happy when other players do well. And I think that's kind of exactly what you guys are saying, where, Patrick is very obviously very happy for Alex when he gets that milestone. But I think the whole team was too. I think that's an accomplishment that, not many guys hit, and for Alex to hit it twice in a career. And I'm sure he would have hit it last year too, with, I think, 26 less games, and he already had 32. So, if I'm a betting man, I'm betting Alex gets 8 goals in the last 26 games, if there was that last year. But nonetheless, I think it's still a spectacular feat for a guy that works very hard and well deserving. And I think, like you said, everyone on our team is very happy for him and the stuff that he can do on the ice and with lots more milestones hopefully to come. I think it's obviously a very positive thing for him. And just to add on to our line, I think we've been a fun line to be a part of, for sure. And I know we've been creating lots of chances, but I think another thing with our line is we haven't been on for too many chances against and too many goals against, which is obviously a positive in both regards. And I think that's something that we can take into the next year, where we can be relied upon to not give up a goal. Sometimes we're out there with the goalie pulled on both ways, and I think that's a credit to the way we've been playing away from the puck and something that we can really build towards.
One of the kind of subtle improvements here over the last couple months of the season has been, with a team overall, which you have been a part of, is improvement in the faceoff dot. 13 of the last 14 games, you guys have had 51% win rate or better, and your personal faceoff percentage, I know earlier in the career you were pretty well above 50%, and then for whatever reason it slipped down to the 44-47 for a couple seasons. Now you're back up above 50%. What is the explanation to that? Is there more tricks to the trade, just knowing the league a little bit better, knowing the officials a little bit better, and how much of a charge does that give you, knowing that you went through some struggles as far as that particular statistic is concerned, but now you seem to have found it again?
Well, I think when anything, first of all, with anything with that, it's it helps a lot when you have a guy like Jonathan Toews on your team to boost up your faceoff numbers. The teams wise, I mean, you've seen, in the last, I would say, 10 to 15 years, it's been him and Bergeron consistently at the top of the NHL ranks among faceoffs, and he's shown that again this year. I mean, he hasn't lost anything in that regard. He's been unbelievable at winning faceoffs, and every key faceoff, he's the guy that generally is taking it. And it's great to get to learn from a guy like that. And I think just anytime you get to practice against him every day, and in morning skate and things like that, where you are practicing against such a guy that is so competitive and so good at faceoffs, it kind of just makes you more competitive and better at them, for sure. When you're facing against a guy, and maybe against another guy in the league, where you go, if you just do 8 faceoffs and you go 3 for 8, that's not very good. But when you go 3 for 8 against Toews, you kind of get a little excited about that, and he beats you in 5 out of 8, but you're still doing pretty well when you only lose, just under 50% against a guy like that. So anytime you have a player of that caliber on your team and the kind of everything he does for our team, it's you can't even say enough words about what he means to our team, you know, night in and night out, on the ice and off the ice, for sure.
We're talking with Dylan Strome, and one more before we let you go, Dylan, but if you read the description of the Bill Masterson Memorial Trophy, it's given to the NHL's player who best exemplifies the qualities of perseverance, sportsmanship, and dedication to ice hockey. I mean, there is no better way to phrase your year with the Hawks this season than that sentence alone. But you're the Blackhawks nominee. What does that accolade mean to you?
Yeah, when Mark Lazarus actually told me that the day of the game in Arizona, I was pretty taken back. I think that's a tremendous honor and something that I definitely don't take lightly. I think you see the past winners of it and guys that have gone through so much, and not comparing myself to the guys that have beaten a significant battle of any sort. But I think everyone has their own battles they're fighting, and to get my name recognized with that is something that, like I said, I definitely don't take lightly, and it's a tremendous accolade, and one that I know my family's very proud of, and I am too. So I definitely take that to heart, and I really appreciate the nomination.
Well, you should, and that's very cool. And Dylan, thank you so much for the time tonight. Thank you for everything this year. You're a great quote from the media side. If no one's told you that, I'll tell you that.
No problem. That's what I'm here for.
We'll have you anytime. And also, Dylan, I just want to say, I feel like the entire city of Chicago is kind of also dealing with a broken heart hearing about your dog. Just a very unfortunate circumstance. When you were going through your struggles, you were talking about how much the dog was a big help in your life, and Chicago's a place with a soft spot in their heart for animals, especially for the dog owners out there, I know. So I hope you're doing all right with that, and you and the entire family.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. He was a good dog, and I miss him every day for sure. So I really appreciate you guys saying that, and I know with how special it was, the amount of people that have reached out, it's been honestly heartwarming. I don't think there's any other way to describe it. He was a loved dog, and especially someone named Wrigley in this type of city. He was he was a good dog, and I miss him every day for sure. So that's where my strength comes from, and I'll never forget that.
Awesome. Well, Dylan, again, thank you very much for the time, and best of luck in these final two games.
Thank you. Thanks
Dylan.
That is Dylan Strome. Big thanks to the Blackhawks and Dylan Strome for making that happen. Really wanted to get to talk to him this year, and
got it in under the wire.
Yeah, but you know what? A good time, too, because it's a great comeback story of this year. And we'll get into more of that later. One more stop on Blackhawks Live, 720 WGN. No, Chris Bowden and I are not dancing in the dark because there's still some sunlight out there. It's still daylight.
I'm really excited about that.
Hey, I am.
Summer. You do baseball. And that's why I think that kind of feeds into it.
That definitely feeds into it. I think everyone's a little bit more happy when the sun doesn't go down at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, the sun went down on the NHL except for the Blackhawks and the Philadelphia Flyers last night. They were the only game. So the Blackhawks on the national stage got a 3-1 victory. But now tonight, much different story. 13 games in action.
Lots of playoff implications as well. And maybe that'll be part of this final show. There'll be a lot of things to wrap up next Monday night. Talk Rockford. Talk about, post-mortem. We'll probably hear from Kyle Davidson. But also we'll know what some of these matchups are. A lot of them are already in the books. And with Vegas potentially facing elimination tonight and them coming here tomorrow, who knows what the Golden Knights will look like tomorrow night at the United Center. But hopefully the Blackhawks can build a little bit of momentum off of last night, finish strong with a home victory tomorrow night, and then hit the road against a Buffalo team that they need to extract a little revenge on to finish off the season. And then, we'll hopefully hear from Kyle Davidson by the time we're back on the airwaves here next Monday.
And if you are heading out to the game tomorrow, there will be a happy hour at the Atrium. I believe 5 to 7. That would sound about
right.
It's
a happy 2 hours right there.
That is. Okay, I may be speaking out of turn. I know there's a happy hour, though. Check out Blackhawks.com because we unfortunately don't have enough time to give you the semantics of it. But John and Troy were talking about it yesterday. Troy was saying he was going to swing by.
Okay.
On his way up to the booth. Good. That's going to do it for Blackhawks Live. We've got one more left next week. Again, Joey Z will help us preview the Rockford Ice Hogs playoff scheme. Big thanks to Dylan Strome. Big thanks to the Blackhawks. Big thanks to Curtis Koch, our producer, and for my partner, Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brann. Again, the Hawks hosting Vegas tomorrow night, 7:30 puck drop, 7 o'clock pregame, and then wrapping up the regular season against Buffalo on Friday. David Jennings has the news next, 720 WGN.